Last week, we started a new series called Run to Win. And the whole premise of this series is that you have a call on your life. And that's a serious call. All of you have the same call. And that call is to love the Lord your God. You are a child of His. He calls you His own. You're called to love Him and to love others. And then you're also called to live a life of freedom and serve others, bringing them into that freedom. That's what your calling is. Now, it's your assignment that's different than your neighbor. And your assignment is how you walk out the call on your life. Each and every one of you has a call, and that's what unites us, brings us together. And then each and every one of you has an assignment, and that's what makes you unique to the Lord. Last week, I read Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. And then Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So no matter where you've been in your life, what you've done, where you've come from, who your family is biologically, what your dad does or did, none of those things matter because of who calls you their own. Your heavenly Father calls you His own, and that's who you identify with. You don't identify with your past. You don't identify with your failures. You identify with your heavenly Father. And then this run to win, you have a race set out ahead of you. Each and every one of you has a race that the Lord has asked, will you run this race? And He's waiting for you to say yes. And so last week we talked about starting the race. The world outside those doors is waiting for you to start your race. It's waiting for you to say, yes, I will run, and I will not look back, and I will not stop. I will go forward and accomplish all that I'm supposed to. And the Lord's delaying His return because our races aren't finished yet. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't being slow about His promise to return, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. The Lord's just waiting for us to start our race and to go out there and bring as many people alongside us running towards our finish line. And until we come to that place where everyone is running their race and everyone is headed to that finish line and is bringing people with them, He's going to continue to delay because He does not want one to perish. And so it's up to me to run my race and to say, yes, Lord. It's up to you to start your race and to continue to run. Some of you look at milestones in your life. When I get here, I will start this. Or once I accomplish this, I'll arrive at this. There's no level at which the Lord's saying, once you get to here, then you can start. The day you said, yes, Lord, come into my life is the day you said, yes, to His plan, and yes, I will walk it out. And there was no qualifications other than to love Him and to obey Him. That's all He asked from you. Now, the world would want to put milestones on you. You have to accomplish high school first, then you're an adult. You have to go to college, or you have to have a job and get a paycheck, then you're an adult. You have to have responsibilities. You have to get married first because you're not complete until you're married, and so you can't accomplish anything until you're married. And you can continue to put these qualifications on your life, but those are lies of the enemy that you need this, 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 and this to accomplish what He's called you to. It says He equips the called. So there's nothing that you need to be waiting for to start this race. And last week we made that confession. Lord, I commit to You that I will start this race and that I will run it. Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the path and stay safe. Do not get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Once you start your race, you have to be dedicated to finishing it. It's not an option to start and then to quit. And so tonight, we're talking about dedication. Why would we need to be dedicated? Because the moment you discover your assignment is the moment that the enemy will stop you. The day you said yes is the day he said, I am now going to try to stop them. And so dedication is required to be determined, devoted, committed to finishing what he's called you to do. Who opposes you the most? Tell me, who? Satan. Satan plots attacks against you. The Lord has plans for you. Satan has plans for you. The Lord's plan is to help you accomplish all that he's called you to be. Satan's plan, to stop you from accomplishing what the Lord's asked you to do. He's in direct opposition against you. And so I'm not calling fear over your life, saying, watch out, there's an enemy out there. It's truth. You have to know what you're fighting. And you're fighting someone who doesn't want you to win. And so that's why we're talking about how to run to win. You need to be dedicated to your mission. You can start something and have the adrenaline and say, yes, and I'm going to do this. And then that kind of wears off a little, and you have to have the motivation and the dedication to finish it when it gets hard, when there is opposition. Because it's what the Lord told you that's going to push you through. It's not going to be your feelings, because if you went by feelings, you would quit. But you go by the word of the Lord, and that says to keep going. Dedicate means to devote to the worship of a divine being. So you're devoted to worshiping the Lord. And we talked about last week how worship isn't just a song set played by the band, and then when it ends, worship is over. Worship is your life. Worship is from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you lay down, and even in your sleep. Everything you do is worshiping and honoring and glorifying the Lord. And so that's what dedication is devoting all of you to something, and that's the Lord. Dedicated also means to set aside for an assigned specific function, task, or purpose. So you are set aside for a specific purpose, and that is what you're dedicated to. What we talked about, your assignment. That's where your focus is. That's where your attention is your assignment. Dedicate also means to devote time, effort, or oneself wholly to a person or purpose. So every single part of you needs to be dedicated to your assignment. That's everything you do, everything you say, everything you think about. Everything that encapsulates who you are should be defined by what you're called to be, and that's a child of God, and what you're asked to do, and that's your assignment. And that's how you develop those priorities. That's how you develop your focus. That's how you follow the scripture I read about Proverbs 4, is staying on path, not getting sidetracked. Because when you have purpose, you now know how to weigh whether or not to do something because it lines up with your purpose, with your call. And so tonight we're going to be talking about dedication. Philippians 3:10 through 16, and I'm reading from the Message, says, I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have this all together or that I've made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let us keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision so you can see it yet. Now that we are right on track, let's stay on it. The moment you determine I'm going to stay on track, I have a path and a plan, and this is what I'm going to do, that's when the enemy comes in and will try to get you off track. And that's why you need the dedication to your mission, to your assignment, to push through that. It's usually just when you set a goal that the temptation comes around the corner. Just when you say, I'm not going to date until the Lord tells me I've found that this is what the Lord has for me, there's going to be a really cute guy in class the next morning. And suddenly he's going to be passing you notes and, wait, he likes me. He wants to go out with me. This could be the Lord, because I said last night that I would wait for the one, and this morning there's a guy that likes me. Or if you're 14, I can tell you right now that's not the case. And if it is, you need to wait about 5 years till you can do something about it. And I'm not putting a date or a time on your life, but you can't do anything in a relationship at 14, 15, 16, 17. You're submitted to your parents. You're submitted to the Lord. And that's just one example. Girls can relate. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Next day you're at a sleepover and all there is cake and cookies. And you have options. Am I going to eat all of this? Or am I going to have self-control? Am I dedicated to the decision that I made yesterday? The moment you decide to do something, there is going to be an opportunity to do something else. You have to be dedicated to the call, to the mission, to the assignment that's on your life, no matter what comes across your path within the next minute, hour, day, year. You have to be dedicated. You are valuable to the Lord, and the enemy knows it. He doesn't attack something that doesn't have value. He attacks something that has value that he's trying to remove. In the scripture, I think it's John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't have anything worth stealing, if you don't have anything worth destroying, then you don't have anything worth him taking. But if you're being attacked, if you feel like the enemy is at you constantly trying to take something, well, that's because you have something that he wants, which means you have something good. And you have to be dedicated to keeping that. It's just like in sports. If you think about the 50-yard line on the football field, the defense isn't real aggressive if you're on your side of the 50 because you're 50 yards from their goal and they're not real concerned. It takes a really good kicker to try to get it through that field goal, a really good quarterback to throw the pass all the way to the end zone in one shot. But the closer and closer you get, 40, 30, 10, 20, 10, the closer you get to that end zone, is the harder and more aggressive that defense is going to be because you're closer and closer and closer to your goal. So the more aggressive the enemy is in your life, the closer you are to your goal. So instead of getting down on yourself, what am I doing wrong? I messed up. Think about, what am I doing right? What does the enemy want from me right now? What do I need to protect? What do I need to guard and keep safe? What do I need to surrender to the Lord so that he can protect it and protect me instead of thinking, what am I doing wrong? Because the closer and closer you get to your goal, that's when the opposition's going to hit hard. But you have to be dedicated to get to your goal because you can stay on that side of the 50 all you want. And it's not going to be real aggressive. There's not going to be a really big fight. And if you want to live that mediocre life, that's between you and the Lord. But in the scripture we read above is I give it all. I'm willing to give it all to do what he's asked me to do. He laid down his life so that you could have yours. We lay down our life so that others can have his. And so the more dedicated you are to your mission, the bigger the reward. The greater the risk, the bigger the reward. That's what the Lord's been teaching me lately. The greater your risk, Jen, the greater you're willing to give it all, to step out in something unknown that you don't quite understand, the greater the reward's going to be. Less risk, less reward. Greater risk, greater reward. I don't want to live mediocre. I don't want to live safe. I want to live extreme, knowing where my strength lies. And it takes me making that decision so that you can follow that, so that you can say, yes, I want that too. We have to be willing to step out into the unknown. It says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Just when you feel like, oh, this is what I should do. I need a decision now. I want to make it right now. That's usually when you need to sit back and say, Lord, what should I do? The scripture he's been really pressing on me lately. I'm going to look it up before I misquote it. I believe it's Psalms 37, 7. Yep. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Be still. Just when you want to take control, just when you want to do something to make something happen, is usually when you need to sit back and say, Lord, you take control. I trust you. I trust that I hear your voice. And it takes, as we're worshiping, I thought, do I even have something to say tonight? I just want to sit in his presence and receive. And we're still doing that right now. That's why we didn't have this big transition and this big shift, that we're staying in his presence right now. Lord, what do you want to tell them tonight? What do they need? Not just what do you need, but what is he wanting you to hear tonight? Sometimes we have these needs over here, but he's really just saying, come with me. Listen to me. I have something for you. Are you willing to run this race? Are you willing to dedicate yourself no matter how hard it gets? If you are with me, I will walk you all the way through. An example that I wanted to share with you guys tonight, and we have a little video clip to show you, is a story about Michael Orr. He's a football player. If you've heard the movie Blindside, that's his story. But he went through a lot of opposition to get where he is today, and it took a lot of dedication to get to where he is. And so as the video comes up, I want you guys to watch this and see the level of dedication that he has towards his goal. For those of you who don't know much about Michael Orr, he was born one of 12 children. His mother was an alcoholic and a crack cocaine addict. His father was frequently in prison. Due to his upbringing, he received little attention or discipline. He repeated both first and second grade and attended 11 different schools during the first 9 years of being a student. So if you could imagine having a mom and dad who don't care about you, and even if they did, they can't care for you because they're on drugs or in prison or not even there in your life. And then to get passed around to multiple foster homes of people you don't know. And then you go to school. You guys think school's hard. He would go to school without a family support, and he would have to repeat first and second grade twice and then go to different schools, more schools than he did the number of years he was in them. 11 schools in 9 years. Bouncing around, no consistency, no support, feeling like he was doing this on his own. And the one thing that he was good at was football. And that wasn't discovered till he was in ninth grade. And someone believed in him and had a grandma, his grandmother's dying wish was that he would go to this private school and play football. But he had no money. He had nothing. He was living on the couch at a friend's house at this point. And he'd go in and out of homelessness. But he wanted to play football. And most of you who are in sports or know about sports, you have to maintain a certain GPA to be able to qualify for the team, to be on the team, to suit up, to attend practice. And if your grades aren't at a certain level, you don't play. So his grades started at 0.76 GPA. That's called failing. And until he could bring that up, he could not play the sport that he loved. And so the family, the Tuies, were a couple that went to that private school. And they took him in under their wing, adopted them as his own, as their own, and were dedicated to helping him become all that he could be. They saw this boy that was homeless, who had nothing to give them, and all they had was love and compassion for him. He never had anyone who believed in him. He never had anyone who said, I'll fight for you, or that you're smart, or you can do this. He was just passed around as if he was worthless, and this family took him in. And they believed in him so much that they paid for him to go to that school so he could get a good education. They paid for him to have a tutor so that he could get the help he needed to bring up his GPA. And so by the end of his senior year, he had a 2.52 GPA, which allowed him to attend a Division I school in football. And so he was able to go on and play football at Ole Miss, a college. And then he, from there, went on to the NFL and was drafted. Someone who went from being homeless, without hope, with a 0.76 GPA, was dedicated enough to get through all of those obstacles because someone believed in him. He believed in himself, and he was determined to get where he wanted to go. It's that kind of dedication that we need to have to accomplish the goal that the Lord's put in our life, to accomplish the mission that he has for us. And there's a few things I want you to be aware of when you're on assignment. One, obstacles exist. That was very clear in his life what the obstacles were. Homeless, no family, called stupid by everybody. Obstacles of learning, obstacles of money, obstacles of support. You name it, he experienced it. But he was dedicated to becoming better. He wasn't going to let his family hold him back. He wasn't going to let what he didn't have determine what he could have. And if he can do it, you can do it. I can do it. I don't have all those obstacles staring in my face. Yeah, I have some family history. Yeah, there's been some tough times financially. Yes, I've failed some tests. But not at one point have I been homeless. Has my family abandoned me? Have I had a 0.76 GPA? Told I was stupid, never would amount to anything. And maybe you've been told some of those things, but none of those things matter. And none of those things should move you. Just like running a race, if you're a hurdler, you look out ahead and you see the hurdles ahead of you. There's going to be obstacles. That's not lack of faith. That's being aware of what's ahead of you and what you need to accomplish to get to the finish line on the other side of those obstacles. And so when you're running a race, you have to look out ahead, have your eye on the prize, on the goal, and then look, what's ahead of me to get there? What do I need to do to accomplish that? And you don't let those obstacles hold you back. If I'm a hurdler and I see hurdles, I don't stop the race. I'm just aware of what I need to do to get to the other side. So you're in this race. There's going to be obstacles, but that doesn't mean you quit. That means you acknowledge, you strategize, and you get over them. Because the Lord's always promised you that you do have the victory. So you don't stop the race. You're prepared to win the race. The next one is you have to be prepared for attack. You can see those things, but it's one thing to just see it. It's another thing to be prepared to overcome it. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in darkness, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in times of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. And it goes on to talk about the armor that you have access to and to put on. You need to wear your armor at all times. When you're in the military, you don't just put on armor the day you think battle's going to come. Every morning you wake up, you put on your gear, and you are prepared for battle. Whether or not there's warning of one, you are prepared. And that's not fear, that's wisdom. It says, there's someone after you, so be prepared to fight. So tonight, it's not a scary thing to know that someone's after you. It's a good thing to know where you place your confidence. And that no matter what comes your way, he says you're going to be victorious. But you have to make a decision, one, to start the race, two, to be dedicated to it, and willing to do what it takes to get through it. The military doesn't just wait to be attacked. They strategize. They go out. They don't just get on defensive mode, they're offensive. So you have to be ready and willing to go and do whatever the Lord tells you to do, knowing that you have what it takes to fight and to win. And just like in the natural, when the military has armor and equipment that they use every day, you have armor and equipment you need to use every day. And just like in the army, there's an enemy out there wanting to kill them. They may not know all the strategies, but they know they're there and they know they're ready to strike at any time. And so they are ready and prepared to fight. So you have to be ready and prepared to fight. And in the midst of all of this, number three, you must overcome fear. You cannot let fear come in. Wherever there is a door to fear, you must close it. Fear could be defined as false evidence appearing real. Something that appears to be real and true, but it's false. It's a lie of the enemy. You have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Perfect love casts out fear. I never quite fully understood what that was until over this last month. The Lord's been showing me that the more I allow him to love me, the less opportunity there is for fear. Because when you feel completely loved and comforted and validated by love himself, there's no fear of anything else because you trust him. You trust in his love and his ability and his plan. And that casts out any question of the unknown because you know no matter what, he's a good God and he has good plans for you. And so you don't have to entertain fear. It says in Isaiah 41:10, And if the band could come up. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." The Lord is with you at all times. There is no need for fear. There's no need for discouragement or concern, because he's always with you. He will never leave you. Imagine having this huge bodyguard walking around with you at all times. No one would mess with you. You have the best bodyguard with you at all times. No one can mess with you as long as you keep that door shut of entertaining the thoughts that something can. You have to be so confident in the Lord, putting your trust in him, not in the circumstances, not in the people around you, but in him. And he will protect you. He will guard you. He will keep you safe. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. He is with you at all times. All times. And when you allow him to love you, when you allow him to come in, that perfect love will dispel all fear. It will drive it out. How do you get to that place? Spending time with him. Opening up your heart. Lowering those walls. Letting him come in. Letting his love overtake you. It's a conscious decision on your part. When you're dedicated to this race, you can't do it by yourself. You can't do anything by yourself. You need him for every breath, for every decision, for every action, for every thought. You need him. And the enemy wants you to think that you can do this by yourself. The enemy wants you to think a little fear is good for you. It keeps you on your toes. That's a lie. It says in this book, think on these things that are pure and lovely and honorable and worthy of praise. Fear is none of those things. And I was preparing today. I had this overwhelming sense that there's some of you in here who are paralyzed by fear. You've allowed it to come in. You've allowed it to control you. And now it's inhibiting you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. It's holding you back from being all that you're supposed to be. It's stopping you from moving forward. And the Lord wanted me to tell you tonight, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my right hand, my victorious right hand. That means you win. He wants to hold you up. He wants to protect you. He needs you to say, yes, Lord. I give it all to you. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, tonight the Lord wants to minister to some of you. Fear isn't just fear of a spider or fear of death. Fear is allowing any form of anxiety or worry or apprehension to come into your life and to cause you to make decisions based on those feelings. Whether it's fear of a person, what's my friend going to think? Fear of your parents. Fear of messing up. Fear of having your past come back to haunt you. In the scriptures earlier, it says, don't look back, look forward. Your past should be not something you're fearful of, because he took care of that. And so tonight the Lord wants to minister to you. He wants his perfect love to cast out fear in your life. And so if that's you tonight, if there's fear trying to creep in your life, if there's fear you've been trying to get rid of, tonight's it. Tonight's the last night you will ever fight that fear, because the Lord wants to take it out. He wants to remove it by overwhelming you with his perfect love and his presence. And so if that's you tonight, I'm asking you to be bold and raise your hand so I can see who you are, so that I can pray with you. Raise them high. And if that's you raising your hand, I'm going to ask you to make another bold move. And that's to come up here so that I can pray with you, and so that we can stand against this together and get rid of it for good. And so if that's you, I'm asking you to come up here right now, and I want to pray over you. You can play whatever you want. And the rest of you, if you didn't raise your hand, but you're standing there and you're saying, that's me, it's not too late to come up here. You have all your friends standing up here saying, I want to be bold. I want to be strong. I want this out of my life for good. And if you've overcome fear, then I want you interceding for your friends right now, for your brothers and your sisters, praying for that perfect love to penetrate their heart and to push out all fear in their life. And if you guys could actually line up in a row, if ushers, you could help them line up in a row. I'm going to pray for each one. And you can do two rows and then come forward, whatever you guys want them to do. And if this is you tonight and you're up here, turn out the distractions. Close your eyes and look up. Put your eyes on him. Surrendering whatever that is that you've been holding on to. Letting go of it, raising your hands and saying, Lord, I surrender all. I give it to you. I will not hold on anymore. I let go of this. Don't look at me. I'm not the one that's casting out your fear. This is the Lord. His perfect love is going to cast out your fear.